which works the university budget. The way drafted is why our faculty is not here. However, we have 3 meetings left in the semester, and we have a lot to do. So we're going to get start running through things as a general discussion in committee of the whole, because if we don't do so, we were not going to get through it before our semester ends. So first up, we have the minutes. It's been circulated. If anyone has any questions or comments, we can certainly do them now. Once we have our form, once our drive, we'll approve them. Are there any comments or questions on the minutes generally?
So a couple changes, and I'll give these to you, Margaret. It's just I was marked as absent from one of them. There was some of those we had a public hearing, and then there was just some comments where it's like the procedure would fix them, so there's
Fantastic. First of all, it's actually at the senator. However, we had a forum today about the workshopping potential changes in HIPAA code. Unfortunately, it was just a working group myself. I can't remember, so it was just a working group. This is a drafting meeting and part of discussion. We're going to be redoubling our publicity efforts for the national forum on Friday, and we anticipate. And we hope for better attendance. But we did anticipate this form would be the lowest bullet point if there wasn't going to be one, because doing the nitty gritty detail is something that you may or may not see. But it's a little bit dry one. So that brings us to the question. So the proposed changes regarding the digital administrator reappointment process, which actually we're going to skip that because it's a fact we'll move back to here because that's actually going to require explanation. And let's go to the interpretation. Notice that we're going to be ERB applications, which were extended for spring email, but were extended from last Friday before spring break to last Friday of spring break, which is, anyways, the applications were put out, we extended because we're having a low turnout. It appears that we have, actually, I received the packet for the anonymized application, but I didn't receive the key for the literacy, but I also don't exactly know how many we have. I just have a packet of all the applicants. So I don't know what the highest number here is. But anyways. But either we have 7 faculty, 7 staff, and 12 student vacancies. So it looks like we have a neighborhood of 30 some odd student applicants. I'll be an aspirant for tabulation. We expect this year it's gone on, it happened later than usual. We also had the essay elections, which frankly taking a lot of attention. So we had a lower turn than expected, which we will be speaking to the office in terms of why and how we can communicate that forward. That being said, considering the complete how full our agendas are, it is. Once I have a chance to sort through what I was given the application sent to me less than an hour ago, I will send an email out to determine if we want. A special meeting or determine how we're going to review these, because these would need to, the review process is going to have to be concluded prior to next Friday, because that would be the last, that was the deadline for us to get things on the UA agenda, so that it'll become our final meeting. Either that was not our intent, and that's why I opened there before the initial timeline. Actually, one of the UA the last item on our agenda actually addresses the UA bylaw amendment potentially ensure this doesn't happen again. However, are there any comments or questions regarding the UHRB? Hearing none. We can also do the policy 6.4 selection questions, which are based off the discussion we had at our last meeting. That's in the packet for 10. You will see and read our edits that were proposed or essence modifications. It increases the number of questions and reworks the number of them. Also, after that is the actual UHRB application. If you are to be questions of use for the cycle, the formatting has been somewhat mirrored and some of the questions have been important, which have actually been copied. This was based on the feedback that we were given. We had at our last meeting discussion that they should be more looking at not yes no questions and more looking at the thought process behind how an individual would operate so that there would be more ability to gain insight. Consider that the four person selection group is the last stop. Why observe and then observing and leave indefinitely. So I believe I have Kendall and Adele Dentz here.
So you're saying definitely, is there any mechanism to remove these federal line tunnels?
That's an excellent question. I have to check the procedures. I worked with Carol Grumbach and John Sloan, revising them. They were looking at it holistically. I highly suspect there is some way to do it.
Okay.
That being said, I will certainly make a note to follow up. But consider that when we did this in the fall, we did this here. Yeah, we were told that since once they're on the panel, so until they ask to be off the panel, they're continuing forward, which was an interesting question. It does, even for our reappointments, we do want to check in. So I will, that is certainly a concern, and perhaps I recommend that there be some way that your term is not definite. However, in essence, we can walk through the questions, but it went through the vast majority of them, and we rewrote a bunch or added.
So, question about has the trial line office fees yet? Or
they were dragging. So, what we did is in the fall, or whatever, we did this. I offered to Sarah Apple, the outgoing trial line coordinator, said, "Oh, we'd love some help trying to do this. We've been apparently last year they brought it up, nothing was done." So, I sent her a copy, never heard back. And they said, "Oh, we'd love suggestions, we'd love input." So, these were just draft based on our last discussion. And then once they're closer and finalized, I would plan to send them informally, but also the CDC has this say we recommend these and send them off. It looks in the form of something desire.
Is the current town line coordinator or the new town line coordinator going to do the CDCs?
That would be to my knowledge, the new town line coordinator is in the So that process is wrapping up. Two finalists after the interviews. So it should be at its close, hopefully soon, assuming that something didn't go awry and
Okay. It might be nice for the person who's currently the candidate to take a look at these as well, since it might be something that we can.
The town line coordinator doesn't interact with these at all. It's the same idea that it'd be similar to the JA doesn't actually interact with the UHRB application process. Officially, it's just the firewall there. These questions would be this is put up by the town line coordinator's office. They receive the application. Board by the selection panel. What's the rule? I mean, I would be the one their feedback. I think it's a question that's pleasant, that it's inappropriate or otherwise poorly worded. But that's the idea would be that we think that group picks the panel. So at a certain point where you need to make sure that they're not necessarily picking their own jury.
Any other comments? I would just say for question number four, I would use an example that's a potential timeline of the procedure, so we're not creating the confusion. Maybe Joe would use language like responded versus cues and things of that nature, but I just, that was a few that I had. And I think also the responded for the
So I don't know how much details you're getting into, but like I've read through the questions and I feel like some of them could be combined into one, like 6 and 7, for example, I think is getting at like almost sort of like the same thing. And then like 5 and 16, I think is also trying to get at something that's pretty similar.
I assume 5 and 6, that is, I would agree with it. Those are the existing questions.
Right.
Yes. 5 and 16. The 16 one was based on a comment made at our last meeting, where in terms of not only they could be cracked by, so the idea was that one is number 5, so we asked that it looks like in terms of how these were by expected, and number 16 was looking at the idea of, okay, how does this, is the panel, say the panel is acting in a way that you think bias and try to be more extrinsic, we can certainly be able to
somehow. And 6 and 7, I think, is also getting at the same thing, right? Like, not exactly, but I think we could probably find it.
So,
let's
crack that. I will say, there's also not to make questions that were like just the little compound because that people are going to forget things. But that means that we definitely need to find information that's not needed.
Yeah. There's a question. Who serves on the selection panel?
That is a great question. The selection panel is 4 people. It's dean and faculty or designee. It is someone from Rice President's Office of Student Persistence, Ryan Lamurray's Office of Student, Rice President's Student of Campus Life, Student and Campus Life, or it says me. Someone and is the vice president of human resources or designee. And the last one is what we commit. Like for a student, if a student is chair of the CJC, they shall be put on it, what I would put on. Or if not, they have to go through and ask us to find a student on the committee to serve.
And where is that? Where's
it's part 6.4.
So that's in 6.4,
the yes.
Student selection.
It is. We had a discussion over that. It kind of didn't necessarily. Policies, but there isn't 2.4 have also been informed to be looked at again. But the intent is to try to, we are a stakeholder. They just had a year, last year they had the same questions this year. They said, oh, we noticed a problem last year, didn't do anything. Personally, it was very difficult to evaluate the candidates considering I think it's right. Yes, no. That's not really helpful to us. And because after the candidate said that, the title line coordinator then called the candidate to get more information, which again, I would not accuse her in such a way of any enough reasons, but in terms of the optics, having the title line coordinator reach out to a potential hearing board member and then asking for more details is less than ideal, given the scrutiny this process is under, and the fact that not just actual bias, it's also perceived bias and perceived to integrate the process. That's your question.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a complex interaction. Actually, it was in our bylaws. So people know how it goes. Because most people like to spend that they said would know. I brought up the committee report, but I suspect most wouldn't know.
So I'm looking at the policy 6.4 right now. There's no mention of the codes and tradition.
It would be in the procedure. So that's kind of a separate document. Yes, so 6.4, when it was redone, they broke it up. So since there was a 6.4, the master policy, and then it refers out to different levels of procedures. I know it's in one of them. I have a draft somewhere in my email. I actually have to circulate. I can't find it. But yes, it was always one. We want some form of community member. Something else we talked about a couple years ago when we did this was that there are no students on these panels. Actually, I had a conversation with Beth Garrett about it. He's a concern with those students may encounter each other on campus. That being said, with 1,000 undergrads and 7,000 graduate professional students, there's a certain point where if you're a PhD in architect or in planning, you're dealing with a law student or possible student across. There's a certain point where, or you have graduate students who are older than staff and faculty. So in terms of the concerns, we're primarily geared towards undergrads, but also kind of assess that in ways to mitigate. But the time is also just being the policy out the door. So the hope is that, assuming that we now have some time, potentially look at that again in terms of because assembly as is when you pull 6.4 out the attempt to try and keep this book. That's a lot of me talking. So any other kind of questions or concerns? Fantastic. We're gonna run through this really quick back in the here because people want that very interesting experience. That being said, looking next is the prior practices for UHRB. That is draft appendix A, which is a very long document, 4 pages. And in essence, tries to lay out how we handle UHRB staffing. It's based off of what we've done in the past, what we discussed with the initial administrator in terms of, and with myself and the chair of the assembly discussed with JA in terms of how to make sure that we are able to be responsive and also ensure that we don't have the scenario where timelines are being decided every single year. Know every single year we're going to do this. So that is to codify it, make sure that we are in our bylaws. Yeah. So, we can run it if you want to be through really quick. It is an amalgamation of draft questions that take around 3 or 4 years.
What if this is already in here?
The UA bylaws already charge the CJC includes all UA tribute matters. So as it's like there is the general, but all of this is either there are certain parts that are in the code in terms of the generalities. This is a flush out.
And so this would be amended as an appendix.
That's correct. Or it could be in the full bylaw, but it is so specialized.
The way that the dates are really meant to be six dates in a month, which can be confusing. The idea is just trying to make something not flowing, but I know companies are just super popping it there. So I have Tori on the speaker, so people are wrapping up, so I'll throw it in a minute.
All right, so I have a question about publicly accessible starting on line 97. Is there a definition for publicly accessible, or could the Office of the Assemblies define publicly accessible in a way that makes it difficult for students to actually find the application?
That's a good question. The intent behind it was, and full disclosure, I wrote this, so if there are concerns about validity, chair part, so I will transfer the chair. The intent behind that was that, as it's, that's the application going live and then being sent out.
Okay.
So in terms of, that is a question, we certainly could add clarity in terms of publicly accessible and advertising shall begin, or as we certainly could add that one. So.
I mean, it might just be worth putting it in writing about sort of what we expect for the application to be accessible. If it's sort of on one random website in a sort of place that's kind of difficult to find, or like, for example, if in the future they decided that they wanted to use software to distribute it like Blackboard, I mean, not that would ever happen, but like,
absolutely.
If they decided to use different software, it might be difficult for certain students to gain access to that, or there might be problems technically with that. So I would want there to be something in here about that we expect that it's going to be up on a website, or that it's going to be emailed out to students, or like maybe just get some examples, such as available on the Office of the Assembly's website or email them.
Absolutely. Purview of Qualtrics survey. What it was this year is the survey was created, the link wasn't shared with anyone, so the link was given. We were vetting the application to make sure it was where we needed it.
Yeah.
It was sent out, I was assessed, it was public, but it was promulgated.
Yeah.
So we definitely will clarify in terms of what we're looking for, because that the intent of that is to mean that advertising shall begin, in a sense. The announcement goes up.
Well, my other concern about that would be if there was some sort of electronic problem, could we use paper applications and things like that?
Certainly. Do you have anything to come up with? We certainly could.
Yeah, it would be a nightmare, but like, it's always going to have a backup.
So I will check the picture answers, but check the, maybe make that clear and start advertising, and also what it's going to be. I have Dale and Adam Shepard.
I don't know if the best way to do it, but I think the line 13 through 15, I feel like you should probably just drop it up to the two sentences. The committee is charged with nominating candidates to the university assembly for the class regularly, I think it should be regularly scheduled meeting, or regularly ongoing assembly. I feel like the sentence should end there, and then like you're having like two thoughts and two different groups that are confirming it. That does get a bit confusing. You say the committee has started nominating candidates to the UA. I don't know if you want it somewhere that has to be by majority vote, because the implication is that the CJC votes by majority vote. And then is there an explanation somewhere about the UA? Does the UA also confirm by majority?
Yeah, that's the code actually is silent on it, but it would be confirmation that we're all consistent.
So I think you should end a sentence after the outgoing assembly and then say the university assembly will then act to confirm the CJC's recommendation.
I wrote that for bylaws. But we can also make that it's complex. And actually, part of the reason we don't necessarily always put a digital prediction, part of the economic world there is 2 years ago, last year, we asked this because we're able to have a selection. We're asked this a lot to have a selection subcommittee, which we've done in the past, and just allowed it. What we'll do is that subcommittee will say we approved them, we've investigated it, and then we simply disclose to the assembly that CJC created a subcommittee or selection committee, if you want to call that, they looked at it. Well, CJC actually wasn't. Traveling, it was the name for the meeting. So in essence, in terms of the form of, they always will be reviewed by the committee, but in terms of the way that we can do it, it creates a question of exactly how we do it. Note that the assembly has to be informed, the assembly will be, so we can also tweak that in terms of making sure it's clear that
the selection committee can have nominations.
Well, not necessarily, actually, the assembly, this committee has to empower the election committee that. So but also to ensure that that's disclosed to the assembly. Historically, I was handling it.
then I would include that at the end of D, that
yes.
the selection committee's nominations can go directly.
I
should have to go to the end.
Yeah, that's sort of long. I saw Michelle, you're next. I saw you write being on notes, so I'm more than happy to.
Yeah, I'll probably just give you my notes. So I think this is a really good start. I think it's really wordy and robust. And I think where the confusion is that we're trying to make timelines based on CJC. That it based on timeline on the DUA. So for example, like when I look at line like 96 or 96 through 98, right? So applications will be wider than some of the office becomes no later than the last month or 12 weeks expected. Who may say will be available by the second week semester. Right? I think when we start to put all these other dates and all these timelines, like we're starting to create all these possibilities of procedural errors instead of saying let's just do it by that. So let's say for some reason we can't reach form CJC. It still has a timeline with it. Right. So I think looking at that would be one of the things that I would be on top of.
Just actually, that Wednesday event actually is not mentioned. The CJC meeting is actually the creation of the series of our initial availability. The reason it was the UA actually, historically, they've gone, the UA used to meet twice a semester, they met once a month, they met twice a week, they met now currently once every other week. The idea was us to try and lock it in because the UA is going to have its second meeting in March, or if they're doing it like yeah, that is to try and make sense, not necessarily so. The UA actually changes its calendar yearly to try and make sure that we're locked in. Right? So I think we can clarify that and try this more simple.
Yeah, or even, I mean, if, and when we look at the last Wednesday, the full week of February, like my brain, I started just looking at February 21st, right? I mean, just let's just make it more simplistic.
Okay.
And I think that a lot of what you have could just be bullet pointed instead of having. All these pieces, because when I look at procedures should be easier than the actual text itself. And so when I'm thinking about just the whole
thing. Okay.
So when I think about maybe just the procedure, like you want this to be bullet points, so that's a lot easier to understand. I would look at some stuff in page or line 28 and 30, think about power to designate a subsection of its voting membership. Why don't you just say like majority of the CJs? Like I think we're trying to do a little bit more. It's a good stab. I'm grateful for you having a draft. So I'll just pass these to some of the suggested changes.
Last. I will say part of the even this maybe my part of the reason in this section part of the power of the code that we have part of the language is the issues of cases that I've encountered over the last 4 years. Honestly, with the code, that's part of our problem. And after people will write in provisions to address these instances. We definitely made that instance of like trying to generalize it. But still knowing that there are some things that are, we had issues in terms of, oh, there's one version here in terms of the committee shall be provided information as an update of where we are in the process. Even this year, we had actually the UA formally request that update, which is unfortunate. So there's some things we should be, but I completely agree there's some things that are too bespoke.
Make some edits, right? UA, or opposite sentence provides an update to the UA.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think being just more planning much.
Absolutely.
If you don't have time to do that, I can help with that.
Absolutely. No, I should have some time, but and also, actually, the UA should be selection process. If anyone's really interested in that, that's Richard, welcome.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we traded Casey for UBC. But we went through really briefly the update on the UHRB status. That's the applications are in, and actually, is Lisa coming?
She was at the faculty senate meeting, but she has a role there that might keep her. She has a role there, a more substantial role.
Okay.
That once the meeting ends, people want to.
Well, I know she's coming. So, Alice, when she gets here, I'll do a recap of where we are. That's right now, we're on land impact. We're looking at.
We're still short quorum, even if she comes.
No, if she were to come, we would.
Okay.
But where we are now is at the very end of the packet. The UA draft, UA Appendix A. essence, we're trying to codify the UHB staffing procedures. We've been having this general discussion about that. General, I mean, it is, I wrote this, it's an amalgamation of a lot of language that we've been tossing around for the past couple of years. It is one of the parts that are worthy of a little bit proposed. But we're happy to streamline and simplify the intent just to try and on the bylaws, the ones that Rollins that agreement to do every single year. And also to memorialize the fact that Michelle, myself, and Gabe have had excellent discussions over the past 2 years in terms of how we can improve certain parts of the process. And I'm very much concerned that if we don't put them somewhere, they are going to get lost. Actually, not they will. And that's going to, they will get lost. And this is the way it goes. And I would like very much prefer to avoid that. So that's where we are. So I don't know if you have any comments or questions. I don't think I have to speak to some 3-3-17. Does anyone have any other comments or questions about these procedures or the draft?
Yeah.
This is the fun part. So in theory, they have to be approved by next Friday. So what I'm looking at in terms of just the practical level of this, and what we can do, because what will happen is we'll go on the UA's agenda for not this coming Tuesday, but Tuesday after. We could get sent into the UA, and as now we'll tell the assembly. So you can see it's still formally chewing through it. In essence, because then it'll be on the assembly, and if we change or make amendments, we could amend all that. As that's what we voted on. As it's just being asked on the agenda, it has to be publicly promulgated. And just to ensure that it moves along. Because after a couple years, we became very close to doing this, and then we ran out of time. And again, it's just a matter of assuming there's no truly intended snags. I think we can do it. It's just whether it's okay. So, are there any other comments or questions about this? Hearing none, we'll come back to a brief once we see it, sir, and I can deliver it to work. Actually, that leads us to the next portion. Revision code update. As I mentioned, I've been also in my third time, I've been going through the code, attempting to look at how we might reorganize it in terms of just looking in terms of even just internally, try and see where things are so we can try and remove some of the language. What I'm looking at is excluding the regulations and maintenance of public order for the moment, that's a board level document, and it also has what that has. That is the most legally sensitive portion of the code, because partially because of a bunch of different guidelines. But the rest of the code, look at how we can, in essence, put all the offenses in one area, put all the offenses to try and make it so that it's easier for someone to look at, you know, without tweaking the language much at all. And then we can determine how we want to proceed in terms of justice in general. Okay, now we have a way that we can understand it. What do you want to cut, if not? Or do you want to, in essence, reorganize it, clean it up, and then draft plain language accompaniment? Either way, to have the committee that option, this is something that we'll see on the next year, certainly just because there's no way to establish a timeline, but I am moving forward with it to try and keep things moving, and if for some reason I am not around next year, I would be delighted to leave it all of my successor and or pop in frequently, and I'm not around, but to help out with that, so that I have a chance to do this.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, I'm grateful for that, to look at that. My concern when we think about moving stuff around is that some of these resolutions have been on our docket for almost 2 years. So our inability to even work these gives me some concern about tackling a whole giant project and doing some of those. So I just want to express my concern that any kind of look and reorganization in that, whether it's going to be a timeline where we say we should just do a whole code revision, we should do a versus spending 2 years trying. Yeah. And so that's the only thing I want.
Anyone else?
Question, Matt. How long have you served on this committee?
I've officially been a voting member of this committee. This is my second year as a voting member. Uh-huh. However, I've been to every CJC meeting since 2001.
So the question is this: how much turnover from year to year does this committee usually have?
The only person who's been here at the same time as you voted.
Yeah, I know, but from last year.
From last year.
Well, you just since one semester, one, two,
you know,
three.
This semester we turned over half the committee.
Yeah,
this is an odd semester, we'll say.
Point being, underlines our Michelle's point, makes it a different way. I mean, retracing all steps
you know, in this thing with a new court.
Yes.
And we have to really think about how we're going to do this expeditiously.
Absolutely. And actually, on that, I spoke with the administration for the break. And in terms of how we can move forward, this was actually brought up with President Pollack at the UA, noting that we are a voluntary committee to turn over. In essence, where we are, and this will bring back to the code changes, in terms of we're going to be holding a full form of public office hours slash meeting to review the code of the requirements we have right now, and to look at them and try and chop them around, noting that we may have low or no attendance in the administration. In essence, just to provide the opportunity to do so, posting them publicly. However, talking with the administration, the idea in terms of do reorganization, because that's in essence to try and bite it off, and instead of just doing it, piecemeal changes, I think are not something we can sustain, because frankly, we put in the situation with current code, where it's a hodgepodge. That being said, addressing what's on the docket, and then going through and really reorganizing it, and really this internally, so that the next CJC can sit there and say, well, we have an internal document that's a little bit easier to flow, understand where we're going. And then from there, determine, okay, once the code's reorganized, does it make enough sense that do we need to move on to code review? I mean, that's, considering that I'm clearly not, my successor's territory, I don't lie, I can't speak on what that committee will do, but in essence, provide them at least some form of jumping off point to say, okay, we have a somewhat organized code or better shape than we had it, how can we move forward with this? Assuming, I will still be around next year, so I don't, it's here, even, I mean, assuming I don't, elections and other roles are always up for everyone who wants to do it all. But that's the intent. Anyways, any other comments or questions regarding that? Yes.
I vote on something.
Absolutely.
You can't do it until you get here.
Long term, if there is a major code, I assume that this is going to be very closely. Probably closer than we have in the past. Is there even any discussion on having a better relationship? So it is that we pass resolutions like we have this past semester and they respond all of them.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's also part of it that we had in terms of how to work more closely. This is trying to preview it. So assuming another 30 minutes next. But once we are all set for that, this is to go through and assuming we pass these code changes today, Congress has approved them, I will then send them off to you and also send them off to the president's office very formally and say, here's what's coming to the floor. Again, disagreement is one thing, but if you see any glaring red flags that we're going to tell us to make us aware so we don't have to go around them and things like there and going back. But you will see. I mean, President, and desires to work very close with us to avoid an either openly or inadvertent or intentional antagonist relationship. The goal is to work together. Obviously, it's very easy to say it's hard to do, but I'm confident the administration is going to indeed put it in the front of us.
Is there any confirmed information about recommendations from the task force concerning the future?
Yes, so that task force will be actually, and I will clarify fully, the code with the barring a complete changes. Later meeting with the UA, President Paul took back at that at the UA meeting because there was a movement around. She spelled that rumor positive. The
working that was yesterday.
That was last Tuesday. No, I'm sorry, Tuesday before the break. And in essence, the President's task force, they are not self executing. They can propose whatever they like and comes out. It's being seen. I'm now added to outfit working group. We had some Senate members. They were more closely with. Assemblies that this one is. This is their report with a bunch of recommendations, some of which the president can unilaterally implement, some of which required the CJC the next year to actually implement. Okay. So whatever comes out of that, it will be a discussion, but the task force doesn't have the authority in the code questions. Actually, it's not
really. But there was no confirmation on what the committee will do.
No, I just hope their interim report should have been out at some point over the break. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But there were full reports you made first, so you will see soon what they may want to recommend. and Mr. Liebitz, myself, Mr. Liebitz, and Kevin Claremont, the formulas committee, and the advisor that you can see will be meeting with the president of the task force. I'm actually here to see this Friday. We're doing it. I'm going to try and video in, but at the very least, I have Kevin working the code, so people can qualify to answer questions. That's fantastic. So, no, let me know. We're going to move back to the minutes. So are there any comments, questions, concerns on the minutes as presented for March 14th that we're set on the agenda? Is there, we can read them out if we need to, or we can amend them. Second. Any discussion on the amendment? Is there a move? Anyone like to approve the amendments or do anything else? Hearing there is a speaker's list. The chair puts the question. Is there any dissent to approve those amendments? None of the amendments are approved. Back to discussion in 4 minutes. I have your speaker's list. Motion approved. Second.
Consent.
Okay, thank you. So, motion second, they consent. Hearing none, the minutes of March 14th are approved. They have consent. Moving to March 21st. Any comments, questions, concerns, or motions?
Move to approve. 21st and 28th.
Motion approved. Together. 24th, 21st and the 28th in single motion. Is there a second?
Second.
They consent. Hearing none, the minutes of the 21st and 28th are approved. Fantastic. We're going back into our regular agenda, so the modified form. Risa, we're very glad you're here. I hope you're back with that as well.
It was very interesting.
UA gets the social sciences group in a couple weeks, 2 weeks, so that'll be a little bit. I gave you a brief preview of our working group forum slash meeting today, and I just wanted to. We did a productive meeting compared to refined for Friday, and we're going to have a PR on Friday as well.
Yeah. I'll just add that, you know, I think that we're really continuing to move forward in a positive way. I mean, we're at this point, you may have already said this, but we're really at a point now where what we outlined is our process, I think, is really being implemented in terms of information gathering, you know, from the first set of forums that we did, and pulling from those, you know, themes that we were hearing, and then taking those themes, some of which are really direct to the code, some of which are outside the code, and organizing them in a way that will then enable us to move forward to actually putting into place proposals that, again, we want to have community engagement as much as possible, rather than presenting just, okay, we've heard what you said, now here are our proposals. So, I think that we're continuing on that same process, but we do want to get, you know, more community engagement. So, you know, we do have the forum on Friday, and I know that is doing a lot to get it advertised. But if you are connected to other governance bodies, organizations, if you can encourage people to come on Friday. What's our time on Friday? Is it
3:00? 3:05. 1:65. Also, Raw Hall. Richard will be evicted from that happen, so I'm sorry.
165 is a very historical group.
Oh, really?
Yeah, many great lectures, fights, other things have taken place. So you should go see it while it's there.
You could also on our anti-apartheid divestment. Meetings were in there. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I'm quite fond of that room.
Please come to the forum. The announcement was sent to everyone. Please forward any groups or other individuals and groups you find useful. I'm sending a follow-up announcement or email probably tomorrow. I'm just looking at my calendar. I'm like, at the very least, past midnight or tomorrow. Please, we can share it. If you have any questions, feel free to email me or Risa. Or Victoria, I also work with. That'd be instead, we are up to the Rochina's judicial ministerial reappointment process. So this is an ongoing discussion that perhaps pursuant to UA Resolution 11 in terms of how to handle the JA appointment process. I am happy to say that we had a directive meeting on Monday. The executive committee, myself, and Vice President Joel Molina, and Vice President of Resources, Marion Offerman. In essence, and I did this one generally, there are three large discussions, two parts that were discussed. There actually is draft language that I drafted that we're preparing internally that this committee can get for the next meeting, but definitely the next meeting, absolutely, that's exactly approved one of the semester. In essence, to look at, the biggest change would be moving the JA from a two-year renewable term to an indefinite term, with the intent, in essence, to the rationale behind that is that it's difficult to staff position the uncertainty of a two-year term, and at the essence, the way the position is located in the university, it makes it difficult to attract the talent. That's knowing that it sits outside the rest of the hierarchy by design, and that it also is one that has a two-year appointment. And whereas historically, we have, never not renewed the term, because the UA hasn't. However, you're a job applicant, you would go back, and it's not that much of a comfort and a concern, especially considering that we're in the government, and it's not around New York City, working for your family in New York City, and it removes, another one, and it got a bump more of a stop for now, possibly college. The first change was to do that, post-training, I should say. Then, moving on, this is in terms of myself, Mr. Coffin, the executive committee, seven essence. That there was not a per se opposition to that. However, the concern would be that the two-year appointment, in essence, keeps the JA in close contact with the UA, ensures that the JA is responsive to concerns raised by the Assembly and the CJC, and that there is a healthy working relationship and a community involved in the process. After discussion, another idea in terms of that would be, and also based off the former annual reports, former JA, Mary McFran, had an annual performance review process, spearheaded and run by the UA, with support from the Office of the President from resources, material gathering, and from recreation and the like, where the UA, in essence, would appoint a committee, and the current time is five people. It can be ACC or designee, chair of CDC or designee, a member of the UA, then the representative of the President's Office, representative of HR, sit down and do this process. They would be able to, the UA and that committee would be able to make formal recommendations for improvements in performance, other performance feedback. They also have the ability to implement a performance improvement plan should there be a concern over efficiency or other issues that come up. And there also is a requirement that there be a public component in terms of there be general information release as well as an opportunity for public comment for feedback. Something that's been discussed actually in the working group was the idea of having every year at some point some form of a forum or a public discussion about the code and how it's being implemented, try and keep information coming in. That if that's in the committee and assembly are amenable to, that could be something that can tie directly into that and also forget about it. So there's that. The idea was that the UA would have that would be the driver's seat for this and that it would be a UA run process. It can also be a body involved as well. The last change in terms of ensuring that the JA's responsiveness and that even though the assembly, to my knowledge, has never actually pulled the JA, the fact that that's in the assembly. Concerned about it, to keep it true that the assembly is not cannot just step off the side and get attention to. But after the discussion, and I'm currently confirming with my colleagues to make sure I understood this correctly, but there were two essence right now the JA, once in a term, only removed by direct action of the board proceeds as a contract for the public member for 2 years. The change that was being proposed was that the UA would have the authority to remove the JA by majority vote. At any time if it arose, subject to the fact that the Board of Trustees could in essence, keep the JA by formally voting to retain the JA at the next regular scheduled board meeting. We're working through the details in terms of how that works in the one limbo period of long and necessary. But in essence, it would give the UA the ability to remove the JA at any time, subject to the board. Additionally, the other language, and again, I'm still confirming, to verify we're absolutely correct, that if the UA were to put in place a performance improvement plan or other essence form of feedback, and after a period of time, generally, say for a year, there was not adequate improvement in the eyes of the assembly could then vote to remove the JA, and that would not have any, that's there'd be no, there would be no reason for the board to overturn it. Technically, the board can always overturn anything, but that's there would be no exclusion. The board would have to countermand the code. The larger set would be falling off the code. There's currently discussion over whether or not the board would change the ruling that the JA normally. That is a question we talked about it, trying to show that correctly. Generally, the board feared that we could change the public and that ability to trust the public documented. But that is in a more than enough show where it's been like, well, there is language that I drafted to look for. Let's make sure we have to understand what we discussed correctly, and then that will be going to be where we will have to pull that down and we can put in any legislation that the board will recommend, modify, and change strike. We have that today. We are then.
One thing is the board.
So we might, I mentioned this actually before we got here. Because we have, because of the way of timing it, we may make it because we literally have to tell this and create a subcommittee, a selection committee. We might do that in terms of amendments. That will allow us to use our remaining regular meetings for the purpose of discussing business. When we have a separate meeting, those are cool things, they're always a great mechanism anyway, so we can applications. Do that, and then afterwards, our timing right now. In about a month from today, we are completing the exercise done.
So are we going to have anything from your committee that we...
That's what I was trying to figure out. So if you're saying May 2 would be the last?
May 2 is probably the last for this meeting, push one week further, but the UA is the UA's last meeting. UA is the last meeting that week. Like that's the last meeting for us might actually happen to be UA.
Our last meeting? Or which one?
So conceivably leading to we could call an emergency meeting that Monday or kind of an additional meeting.
I have it down here as day 9.
UA.
On my calendar.
Might be on our calendar. In that case, that would be a wrap-up meeting because the UA would already have its last meeting for the year.
Well, the reason I was asking was because of this question. I'm going to be out of town May 2nd, which doesn't mean that things can be presented, but I won't be able to, for
behalf of the group.
It would be nice if I was here, which would make May 9th particularly.
May 9th is a Sunday.
Is it?
Wednesday.
It's nice. I never pay attention to something. It's so hard to stay away, but I do. And but at any rate, so we're going to have to figure something out. But I am going to be out of town in a second.
There's also going to be a faculty senate.
On the line.
Thank you.
Oh, that's right.
My calendar's on.
So that's the last day of classes.
So the count, we have 4 more meetings?
That would be correct, yes.
So we will meet the 9th.
Yes.
So in terms of answering Richard's question, the working group, we do anticipate having proposals to this group, but the anticipation, before the end of the semester, but the anticipation is also that the consideration by the CJC will, either primarily or completely the next semester.
Yeah, no, because if it comes in the 9th, then the UA can't hear it.
Oh, no, there's no expectation of that.
Yeah.
Even if it came in on the 2nd, because there are going to be things for the CJC to work on.
Okay. So what is, just to review, we have the
this report from the on the OJA was going to come to us as a more or less complete resolution.
So it'll come as a draft, similar to our code.
No, I understand it's a draft, but it'll be in a form that we could, if we wanted, I'm probably not going to do that, but wanted, just vote it up.
Yes.
Okay. So that's probably the better part of one meeting. What are the other meetings for? I just want to, I want to know that we get things done.
We have more than enough facilities. So what I was going to say, we have on the agenda a whole bunch of things related to 6.4. We have 6.4 on there. We have various housekeeping UA bylaw changes and others in terms of the general reorganization of code. I am confident we are actually going to be short on time, but actually nitty gritty looking at the language on the language we're looking at, some of the things I was talking about is we can do is we can advance the UA's agenda so they make the agenda for the next meeting. Well, this committee in essence will still be editing them. And by the UA's final meeting, if we had any final amendments, we can put them up and voted on. That's the idea is that for some of the items, the bylaws where it's for codifying current procedures, before simply going through finishing off editing. The amendments are not anything. The amendments will be made on the floor of the UA and then we'll be all set. So those meetings will be busy. But our meeting next week is a crucial meeting because that is the last time we can approve things formally, get them on the UA's agenda. If we aren't able to do so, you'll start seeing the creative product devices and the mail votes or emergency meeting that we're going to call them. And that's next week will be a busy meeting. Unless we do.
Are we going to have the same amount of time for next week's meeting, or are we planning on making it longer?
I suspect we're going to make it longer.
Okay.
Just because we're going to budget for it.
It might be good to just see a budget for that.
So any other questions on the JA specifically? That language is actually the draft went out and circulated, and I have a bunch of edits that came back. We're looking for once the UA, in essence, the UA's negotiation delegation, we're looking at it. That's where we have to have part there where we actually understood it to be. It'll go to the administration and this committee. The electronic copy, so hopefully that'll be tomorrow or Friday, and then it'll get on our agenda for first item is for our next meeting.
I think the one thing that I would ask that committee to look at, and I'm not speaking for myself, but I'm speaking for the structure of JA, that the way that the JA is offered structure is that there's no advocate. So you think about somebody who, like the vice president, look at, a member of the faculty, the dean of faculty. So the way that we're structured, when we look at, just when you guys think about removal processes or if you think about the reorganization of where the JA might fit in, I think that's something that we're talking about when you talk about removal processes. So you're talking about a majority vote to remove staff members. There's no other process that had that. So you think about the sometimes unpopular decisions that the JA's office has to make. There's a lot of times when we make decisions not to bring cases that would really quell some of the concerns that are given, but it's not a code violation. And so I think when you start to look at the independence of the JA and who advocates for them when there's times when they're sitting there unpopular and these interests, you have no way structured to. And so that would be the one thing that you start to think about removal process, just thinking about, is it a majority vote or should it be super? That would be the one thing that I would think back is that there's no other office that makes unpopular decisions in a public forum that has nobody back.
Absolutely. And on that, traditionally, and the way the procedure is preserved, the UA is the advocating for us to speak on the back of the JA's office to request some resources or other items. The reason the majority is going through is because right now the reappointment procedure is just majority to accept the reappointment. Obviously, there is a concern in terms of how to do that. To ensure that instead of being once every 2 years, the UA has to be given the authority. Draft has the UA having the authority as it's been doing it whenever. The concern was primarily to ensure that because there's no longer a term, to ensure that there's still accountability. It's just a matter of trying to balance that and ensure that. Historically, the UA has never been knee jerk, but obviously, you don't let us say, historically, there's now. That's the thing that might be.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
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 So are we then to anticipate that we're going to see a proposal that has no actual contract?
That's the current proposal we're looking at does not. The first ask from the administration was a term of 2 years or even the UA, just obviously we're not comfortable in really past 4 years because that's the standard title of undergrads here. I think it's important that the undergrad do it again. But I think the concern raised by human resources was we're already having a hard time filling. Position on the university in terms of attracting talent. Term appointments suffer the hardest for that because of the nature of the pickup. And therefore, that moving, considering that the UA traditionally has been willing to continue to reappoint the JA barring issues, and if there are issues, we address them privately generally, if we have addressed them privately resolved in the past, that moving to there with a term no longer there would make it easier to attract high quality candidates moving forward, wherever Chelsea that will be, whatever that eventually arrives. That's what we currently have. That being said, as I was very clear, the most present when we discussed this, CDC has to formally approve anything we do, and therefore the committee is fully able to amend, strike, or undo anything that's been discussed, and the full assembly has that authority as well. So the current draft currently moves to a definite term, where the board is almost looking like ongoing behavior in some way, trying to win legal as a condition of the idea. Ongoing behavior, so similar to a federal, similar to the idea of where the art legal system goes, that was an internal discussion term, not Yeah. Answer your question. The proposal is currently going around.
Okay. I mean, I just think that's one of those things that people perhaps should start thinking about, like what actually protects somebody in a position. Is having no contract, is that a protection? As opposed to, you know, having no contract, i.e. employment at will, tends to be the least protective a position one can be in a job. And you know, and I'll be interested to see what protections are put in the proposal. Like, will there be a just cause requirement that's explicitly put into any employment agreement, which will take it out of being at will, right? I mean, at will means you can hire and fire for a good reason or bad reason or no reason at all, as long as it's not unlawful. So I am very concerned that anybody has a position at university, and particularly if it is one where you are going to be, you know, perhaps doing things that are controversial, to provide fairness through employment contract, employment agreement, and due process.
In terms of where the draft currently stands, it was, in essence, that the office president doesn't have the authority to be for the UA that would do it. Obviously, I think you don't want to put fires over your career moved up and start having that are not necessarily protecting just of the institution in terms of the Fair Act and equitable interpretation.
I'm just talking about just cause for discharging people. I mean, I don't know if that's in the, I haven't seen
it's
the
not,
proposal.
It's not.
Yeah, so I mean, I think about actual employment.
This will be coming through the next, probably, I mean, I have to do a amendment, so especially internally, once we get that straightened out, it'll go out to the committee. Well, it's doing quickly. That being said, if the committee has concerns, it will not move quickly. The committee will advance it. Personally, I would advocate that I will do within my power to review it, try to yank it. Our bylaws are evident, I will ensure that they don't. But that at the very least, they have to move to the left. So, please let me know if language really should be sent out. I imagine tomorrow or Friday at the latest, start looking at it. But the idea is the current draft does contract moves to the well and moves so that the UA is, in essence, the primary mover if they want to create for the for itself doing it. That being said, are there other questions? We now have previously passed the limits against code. which today you see the entirety of everything. So every all the amendments that you see in front of you, except for one small change, are ones that were previously approved or that is generally approved by the committee throughout the course of the semester. And there's, I believe, I want to say a dozen at this point. This is the original eight, plus a couple ones that came up in terms of the request of the day and the request of the hearing board chairs. They're all geared to open them. And I'm happy to answer any comments. Actually, I should also draw your attention. There's one portion on page. Give me 1 second. There we go. Yes. Page 7. Under the unique for the appointment procedures, in going through old records, there is something else that we. Something that came up 2 years ago in terms of when we do appointments to fill vacancies. Technically, the code, again, gives us the authority to only do a 2-year term, meaning if someone resigns in the middle of January and fill their seat, technically that person should be getting a 2-year term that will expire in January of 2 years. That is a logistical. Hey, we haven't done it.
So that's the first pink paragraph.
Yes, if you fill vacancy, midterm. In essence, it's to say if you fill vacancy, you get the balance of the term.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we've been doing, but.
So we've discussed all of these things,
yes, except for that,
and tentatively approved them.
That is correct.
I move we just adopt them and get it done. Since we've done it.
Does that motion include sending it to the UA?
Yeah, that includes sending it to the UA.
There's a motion to Bethany's call question on this. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there dissent?
Yeah, I just think that I agree send it to the UA, but I would like to send it to the AA. UA as a separate resolution. I don't want to send it as an omnibus. I want to send it 12 separate amendments.
12 separate resolutions?
Yes. So the first resolution would be the stuff about the organization extension. So each box that we have, I want to send it as separate resolutions.
Okay, can I do that? I would say, knowing the UA is likely to join them on the floor because they're going to have a dozen of resolutions before one time. They're going to, the UA will likely rejoin them. But because this committee is reading, I have Dale and I have Richard. And actually, I should note there's one thing I should be very clear about. There are two other provisions that were discussed in this that are not listed in here. It is one of the JA reappointment process, which we stripped out as being handled separately. And the other one, which has gotten a little press recently, is a clause regarding breach of confidentiality. The required hearing that concluded last year, over a year ago now. This is rest of the codes, the color code handles breach of confidentiality. Right now, code does have one. There are various places on campus various agreements that say, oh, there's confidentiality upon if you breach, it goes to the JA's office. There are people with that are something breaching confidentiality now noting and figuring out that there is no code provision. We discussed an amendment to do that in fall. This was kind of controversial and never really came back. I wanted to ensure that we're aware in case somebody, I actually have language to talk about it again. I know we said we had some concerns about it, but full disclosure, that is not, this was discussed and not. Sorry, Dale. And then,
yeah. So I have a question for you, Michelle, possibly. Would separating the resolutions allow the individual changes to be passed or rejected by the president, or if not? Can the president reject and accept individual changes in the same resolution?
Yes, yeah, so one question. And then it has come up. In essence, there's no technical authority for a line item veto. Historically, we haven't. And that's why the UA is very fond of putting a non-severability clause in there, because historically, the code amendments, because the UA has things that we advocate for, the president's office saying that the president always advocates for. Traditionally, it's been somewhat more of a here's a list of things you like, here's a list of things we like. We bind them together as a compromise and then send it all off. Because I understand there was one point where the UA did that, didn't put an answer really. The president accepted all the amendments the president proposed and rejected most, if not all, the amendments that the UA proposed. Which is why historically the UA has been going towards the direction of here's a slate. Obviously, that does create logistical problems if the president doesn't like any of them. But just in terms of historical, that's what we've got. The president has exercised a lot of the veto, just historically.
I'm the chair, Michelle, if that's the reason.
So So my concern is that some of these resolutions that the president provided feedback for, I'm thinking that she's going to reject them because we didn't make any substantive changes. But there's some really good protectionist things that we need to do. So I don't want to temporarily suspend people for not doing their sanctions. If we pass it as a single bus, I need to start temporarily suspending people if they don't do basics on time. I don't want to start another school year having any organization, if I'm looking at suspension, be 1 year dismissal. And so my concern is that we're so close on a lot of these resolutions, and I understand that there's going to be some differences to whether or not the president's accepting some things that she sees as the university's best interest versus what this community or the UA. There's a lot of resolutions that we need to pass because they've been sitting there for a year and a half. And if our committee doesn't move quickly and expeditiously, I think the authority that's been delegated to us to the maintenance of the code is going to start to slack. And so I know that it's 12 resolutions and UA might choose to do that, but there's a lot of good things that we spend 2 years trying to get together.
I would also know if the credible, we could pass it as one resolution and make a note that they are allowed to be separate. So that instead of being 12 that covers, it would be one resolution with a dozen parts. And there would be, that's the problem, the part would be a clause that says the president may choose to accept certain medicines and explicitly authorizing that instead of doing 12 resolutions. It's functionally, I mean, committee is free to do it in C-SPAN.
Right to
accept, reject, the solution. Well, in terms of UA, I mean, parliamentarily, what we do with each of these, the UA would consider them as one resolution, so as opposed to as spoke, where as far as the president, historically, will say, I agree with, say with the UA asking for something, the wall they painted blue, that wall they painted green, the president has historically said, I agree with, I will accept this portion, not this portion. We can explicitly say that, or we can just go. It's just, I wanted to historically done that. There has been done, has been done.
Yeah, no, I think that's the way to go. The problem for the UA, if it comes to separate resolutions, is we're going to have just too much discussion. I mean, we won't pass them in a timely way. But to combine them with the separability clause, you know, I think that's the way to go. And this has got to, we got to get some things done. And we're not the only committee that, you know, the UA has to move expeditiously as well. So I would combine them with separability. I think trying to play it strategically in this case with that game with the president is just, it's not worth the effort.
So I think what you were saying about grouping everything together in hopes that they all get passed, I'm wondering if maybe it's worth spending 5 minutes though and separating it into two resolutions. One with things that we believe can and should be passed immediately accepted by president, and things we're uncertain about, just so that we don't risk the first set not being approved by president.
So this committee, what was voted in this committee's brief to do address these as each set?
If we do that, it's the same as the separability clause. So it would have the same effect.
But I feel like there is still a question on the floor about whether or not she will exercise this line out of veto on each separate resolution in the resolution.
I don't see these things. I don't see how gaining anything by tying them together. Unless somebody's got a big argument, you know,
the historical argument was, in essence, that the UA in the past has moved through some changes and requested both in essence from the president's office and requested her own volition. And the UA, I presume the prior UA felt they were quote unquote burned, which is why you started seeing the separability clauses popping up, or non-separability clauses, because the UA, in essence, the assemblies at the time wanted to do that for the action. This committee is free to do it in C-SPAN, but that's sort of why I would imagine it's done.
No, I agree in some situations that the important just don't think it's important here. And I really want to see us demonstrate an ability to do stuff.
I agree with Dale's suggestion, because I think that included a separability clause. I think you're actually giving the president more power about the checks and balances on shared governance. I think giving the power the president to pretty much do a line on a veto is contradictory to what shared governance is. So I think the idea of these resolutions that we accepted as, you know, with a couple modifications makes more sense. I think there's going to be some controversial ones that, you know, the behavioral expectations of minors and stuff like that. I think that's going to get rejected again. We have a different point of view. She has a different point of view. I don't want that to prevent us from protecting student organizations that contain interim suspensions for small violations. Like, I'm trying to be protectionist to students and organizations and not cede more authority to the power. So I agree with identifying the smaller solutions.
Absolutely. Historically, the assemblies have not been thrilled when the president was trying to allow them to veto. That means that they're going to work with them. I think that you are correct. It doesn't appear anymore technically. But just in terms of the fact that historically it has happened, that it should happen. Again, if the president is asking us to follow our rules, I would imagine it would for us to turn around and say the same, that there is no line of the veto, and therefore it's lack of protection. So that being said, I don't know what the thinking wants to go. I'm hearing that it's the idea that you want to create a category of non-controversial and one that may be controversial and split them up and then move from there.
I'd move that we go into discussion where you go down and resolution and decide.
So there's a motion to that. Is there a second on that? Because if we change our agenda, we're also going to send them over.
I'm going to send the
second. Okay. Hearing done. We're okay. We're good. Is there any dissent? A second to Dale's motion? Is there a second to Dale's motion? Second. Is there a dissent? Okay. That being said, I've seen some scowls, so if there are concerns, please let me know. We will address them. So the first code change that is on the list is the suspension length and the statute of limitations. So this trans allows the university research organizations to be their statute of limitations extended from 1 to 3 years. It also means they may be they may be suspended for a period of up to 5 years. My understanding, based on what the conversation was previously, was that the pre-statute limitation was to establish a pattern of systematic misconduct, for instance, hazing, where there would be a longer period of conduct, and there initially was 5 year was in essence going from 1 year to the equivalent of off campus forever and something like that. There was not a lot of gray in there. So those are the two changes. The UA had no concerns either. We talked about previously about the 5 years. The president had no concerns. There was some concerns about the increasing of the statute of limitations. Sort of potentially increasing that at all. That is the first vote change.
I move to approve this language into the non-controversial.
So that are so the motion second.
Second.
I'm going to add. Pardon.
Second.
Okay. So I had to do this technically. Are there any comments or questions or concerns with this at all? Okay. The motion has been second. Is there any dissent to that motion?
I think this is a point of order. I never know exactly. I had the sense from sort of listening to the conversation before that Michelle's concern was more like there are some provisions that are particularly important in terms of there's a certain exigency in getting them in because there are actions that may actually be affected by them. Don't get those passwords away, as opposed to which ones are controversial, which ones aren't. So I guess I've just been a little confused about the two groups. Those seem to be different.
So I was intending that my assumption was the committee would move all things that we already are in agreement with the president's office on,
yeah,
along with the other urgent matters.
Okay.
So anything that's non-urgent or that we're concerned the president won't accept will go into a separate resolution.
Okay, now I understand.
Is there any other comment? There are addressing. Hearing none, there was a motion, there's a second. Mark this as a non-controversial change. Is there any dissent to doing so? Hearing none, I'll mark that as non-controversial. Next up is the immediate suspension for non-compliance of sanctions. The president actually had on the left side had provided a set of language that she preferred our language. We just gave Shell and May. expounded upon it based off reading it at the time and seeing your reasonable suggestion. Any that I personally said I thought the reasonable exception committee did formally say they were amenable to that. That being said, all the things that were formally set aside, there was the comment that they would be that the EU, that they would come back to them. So if anyone wants to amend any of this, you are committee is welcome to do so. So in essence, the language that was approved is the language on the far left, or the language that's concerned, and the right language being in amendment.
So this is controversial.
I would argue that.
You don't think it is.
So when I, the use of the word controversial, I intended to be controversy between the UA and the president, not within the CJC.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant.
We're accepting the president's language.
Oh, we're accepting the president's language.
Yes, okay.
Those
really change shells may. The president wants to add. The president wants to add, as a decision of May, the judicial administrator may suspend the offender or issue a lesser penalty in the event the JA elects to suspend the JA shall run by, and we go down. I would absolutely understand the path. I think this was the rest of the resolution. She mentioned it's explicitly that is, frankly, a current hole in the code.
I move to the same
time. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Hearing done, we'll move that to the category.
Before we waste time discussing it, I move to add the doctor really monitors the comment.
Actually, that would also include a new, it creates a new penalty for the for the immediate suspension of non-compliance sanctions, changes the shell to may, adds some language. It also rewrites a penalty in terms of if you don't comply with sanction. This was the president had no concern, there were no concerns noted in her about returning to this. Therefore, that option, I just wanted to ensure that we're aware of that. Across the state. Are there any comments on that? It is considered part of the prior one. Okay, next is non-treated minors. To make sure the committee knows what we're looking at. In essence, the president asked two things. One, they asked to mirror the language from A to also to B. I just gave you a very quick version because I know the assembly the committee accepted that portion. This is going to have it that is a graph of whatever we did. The portion that is controversial, or maybe controversial, is the Office of Risk Management, when proposing this, said, and I did verify that after I emailed and edited the records. In essence, there's a saving statute saying that so long as you're subject to other written policies, you're out of code. In essence, meaning that you aren't under the code again. The Office of the President was something concerned with that. And that's why it's in the back and asked to get rid of it. The committee and our discussions, in essence, this management and presentation said this is an they almost never, frankly, should never happen. They accepted originally the idea that it's reasonable to have some backup in the case someone is not, to avoid legal, to avoid them being in a limbo. That means the president raised a concern. The committee approved it, accepting part of the president's suggestion to be B, but leaving the quote unquote saving statute. So that is where we are. The Dale has made a motion to mark it controversial. Are there any, is there a first off, is there a second? Second. Are there any comments? Do they dissent? I was going to ask, it's out of order. Are there any comments or questions about this? Seeing none, is there any dissent to mark this as controversial? Hearing none?
This is the one I was reading when I said it was controversial.
I was like, I don't think you want me to suspend people.
But I was still on the wrong page.
Okay, so that one of the more controversial went out at the bottom of page 5. This is the removal of indefinite suspension. The president had no concern with this. In essence, it just strikes it off the code. And it inserts a footnote, which I heard did not copy the case correctly. In essence, it inserts a footnote just saying that procedures in effect at the time of the indefinite suspension will remain in effect because there are some people still are indefinitely suspended at that time. That did not make for one group. I'm sorry, this was a copy paste that I'm very late last night. Are there any comments or questions for this?
Motion to add it to an unplanned resolution A, but not.
Okay. Second, any dissent? Any general comments? Hearing none? Hearing none, it's not controversial. Next is UHRB appointment procedures. This one came through, and in essence, the change that went through was that there were two comments made by the Office of President. One was that the Dean of the Faculty for Business has the authority to nominate faculty members to the hearing or to the hearing boards. They still confirmed by the UA. And the UA bylaws technically actually say that you that, that this committee will still review them because if somebody has that authority. The change made was to, in essence, add language to the far right column, reading quote unquote faculty member seeking rule reviewed by the coalition committee who shall receive input in the year's faculty prior to confirmation, as we consulted the faculty. The raised concern about the office assembly's roles of checking the balance. The office assembly has no role of checking the balance, it does not sit anywhere. So I presume that they've been there. I raised that with them, they were a little too flexible. Why was there when I spoke to them? But in essence, we did that in response to the response to that. I will note that part D on this is it's here, it's address, that is addressed in a later amendment because that was also raised by the JA. JA in terms of hearing board chair being able to remove things. Members who are not on the agreements. And I also will note that we added the language about what is inflow vacancy are you know, the balance of the term. That actually was in prior language and I should not have it there, we'll make it let us go ahead and clear ourselves. Right, in this term is expiring all throughout the year. Yeah.
So is the chair believe the president will accept this one?
Considering we've been doing it anyways, Frank Flack is being right out. I would think I was special.
Can I make this as a resolution C, just because we haven't had any feedback on the additional part? Like, I think it'll probably be passed, but I don't want to lump it in with B, just in case.
Okay.
I don't want to
bump
it
A. So, sorry. That's fine. So, the resident's created C, which is the new one, because there actually are only new ones. Is there a motion to do that? Is there a second?
You're all fine.
Second. Is there any dissent? Hearing none.
So, we have controversial, non controversial,
and new.
Yeah.
And new.
Okay. So, this is hearing none. This is marked as new. And once we have done this, it's all approved. Yeah, I'll vote for the greater rights resolution. I also verified that the language is correct because this is a copy of multiple CDC agendas over the past couple of weeks. So there's maybe a chance to try over for it and verify it was going to work prior to the actual resolution. There's the dissent. Hearing none, being consented. Next up is no contact directive. This one is, in essence, the president said she supports the change. However, she wants the victims and advocates to have the ability to comment. We're going to reach out to them with that. Which I found quite clarity that they, in essence, just put their awareness because they tend to refer to the group or individuals around because they don't actually have a formal process, but that's happening to them. Also, the president was concerned about adding creating a new right of appeal, and therefore we went back to our original plan A, which is created into a on all that expiration instead.
I'd like to make this a resolution C.
Edited. Is there a second? Second. Any dissent? Hearing none. Now mark it two. Okay, now we're up to, yes, the judicial board's full size and application procedure. This is coming off of a request from the University Area Review Board chairs. The pool may not be large enough. Them in line with what we previously, it's 10 more students, 5 more faculty, 5 more staff. Additionally, it also clarifies the way that we receive appointments because right now the code says the dean of faculty nominates faculty, doesn't say to where. Originally, it's better way, it actually by the UA bylaws say that all hearing board things go through us. So, in theory, even if it goes to the UA, the bylaws would stick right back down. This amendment will make it so that faculty appoints directly to us for review and then. Just clarify to try to make it more readable. I have Michelle, and I also know the black book. Michelle Lindell.
So everything else in this document is no comment from the president, is that each president
pays? These are brand new.
These are new. Okay.
Yes.
I vote that as president.
Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Richard, you have to run
out. And I have a question. You may have said this before. How many applications do we have now?
I actually don't have the office assembly sent me a scrambled sheet of randomized ones. I don't actually know. It's a hundred. The packet is 101 pages, so one would hope that's a fairly large.
So we've got enough now.
I don't know. I have Yeah, some of the applications are three to 5 days long because they're detailed. I don't know. I received the email with them at 3:30, so I didn't have time to really go.
Okay.
There's a motion to mark this as new. There's a second. Any dissent? Hearing none. There's mark as new. Next up is hearing board removal process. This is done based off of a request to the OJ. It also was modified a request after conference with the hearing review board chairs. In essence, it creates a process for removal. In essence, it kicks it over to the HR can get it, kicks it over to the CJC to be analyzed. In essence, the idea that the community appoints these members and not the body. It's been rewritten a couple of occasions. The president, I mean, the last version before I see Mark's approved was because of the conversation with the hearing board chairs. I have to go.
Move to resolution C.
The motion to mark is new and then C is their second. Say second. Hearing none, it's mark. Ah, yes, next one is the concerning hearing board oversight. This one is also, we do the cancellation of hearing board review board chairs. It explicitly makes note that the hearing review board procedures cannot contradict the code. It also allows the, that's involved the CJC in a more a larger role with them, giving the CDC the ability to put edits to those documents, and it also means that the hearing board, any edits the hearing board makes, come to us. It also says that they will report to us upon request for 30 days. Hearing board chairs have made a slight tweak after hearing from them, and I'm pointing my notes and edits the report this change. Any comments, questions, or motions for this improvement?
Resolution C.
Is there a motion to market new resolution C? Is there a second? Is there any second? And then we're finally up for the public hearing notice timeline, which was brought up by the judicial administrator in response to the case by the bride hearing in terms of making it so that in order for rooms and other matters within 2 days prior to the hearing closed. Therefore, after conversation with myself and the counselor, offered the 2 days conversation. Proposal 3 days after the schedule of the hearing. That coincides because it wouldn't allow, that's the 3 days won't conflict and it cannot conflict. And therefore was brought forward. And Michelle?
I just want to move this to resolution A.
That's a
non-controversial.
So this motion is a non it is new, but.
You know, I've been thinking about these categories, which I think are becoming convinced are a good idea, but not quite for the reasons that were originally given. I think for the UA to realize that some things have gone to the president and not been controversial is a good way, an optimal way of doing this. To say they're controversial also alerts the UA. To look at them from that critically from that point of view, and to say they're new is to signal another way. So while I agree with Michelle, this is non-controversial, I kind of think moving it into new, just because the information that we conveyed to the UA members, I'm really worried about the deliberations. But so
there was a motion to move it to A, non-controversial. I didn't hear a second, is there a second? That second amount sales, I have down to.
So I also want to say that I have not intended the names to be something that would appear on the resolutions at all. I just intended to sort them right now. And now that I'm looking at it, all three that we have in non-controversial have to do with suspensions, which I don't think is good or bad. Just, I think it's another way that the UA can easily see what they're looking at in terms of those. And four of the five that we have right now in resolution C involve. I think it would make sense to include this in resolution C just because everything else in resolution C has to do with it. And I'm wondering if we should remove the no contact directive outside of that resolution. That way, the entirety of resolution C would be UHRB appointments, UHRB pool size, UHRB removal, UHRB oversight, and now UHRB time frame. It's hearing time frame. But I feel like those. Having a group by topic, having a group by whether or not the president has already seen them, and then maybe moving no contact directives to a separate resolution. So I move to include this in resolution C and move no contact directives to D.
Okay, so there are motion to organize some site links. And right, you can understand what we're considering. Okay.
So is there an overarching thing for B?
B is just non-matriculated minors right now. It's the only thing that's gone to the president that we are we assume that she will not accept it, but we want to continue having discussions. Maybe not. There's no assumption.
There's a continuing conversation.
Right. Once this is done, I will personally send that one up.
I understand.
Saying, here's what's coming back. I have personally, and I'm in the language, I have personally briefed the administration saying the committee is concerned and SMB will offer this. We took it, and the administration's statement has been, well, the administration offered it, part of the administration did, but the president didn't necessarily authorize that. Part of the shooting your ducks in a row, but either way, there's a motion to that. Is there a second?
Second.
Hearing none, we reorganized it so that we now part of C, which is new/UA3B, for hearings. Now we're going to mark up the
non-contact
directives is now separate. We have four resolutions split up. Is there a motion to approve those to send them on the UA?
I'm going to approve the four resolutions.
Okay, there's a second. Very insane. Because we're actually doing this, I have to put a placard vote. All those who are in favor, please enter a placard. All opposed? Here's what's saying by vote 5 to vote 1. Those are approved. I'll be back with the next step.
So, one of the things we should probably do is order these in terms of priority for the UA to consider, because they may not get through all.
In essence, I agree. So looking at it, I think probably all
this. Let's hope,
okay.
but if they don't, you know, I'd like to. I mean, there are two ways to think about it, right? There are the things that have to get done. And if you start there, we get to the non-controversial. You start at the non-controversial.
The non-controversial are the
things, that have to get.
The non-controversial are the urgent ones.
Oh, okay. Then we start there.
Yeah.
Yes. And when you do this, Matt, you might label them in a way so it's not non-controversial, but sort of urgent. Maybe prior word. We understand in this way, but the UA doesn't have to.
Okay, so those were set. The
chair asks the JA whether or not there's any order that matters for the
I would say in order A, B, C, D, because I think we're already into the hearing board cycle. So even if it's next year, non-matriculated minors, it's an issue. No kind of directives, I haven't issued any that have been here. But the reason why it's important for these, at least number A to be, for letter A to be passed this year is because over the summer, we redo all of our letters and we put the page in the code. And so the code has to be formatted, and if I have to do that in September, staff is going to not have me as their favorite person.
And I will also, A, we're going to have next week, the week after, and I'm going to move on some form of alternate stuff for office of the community. That being said, knowing we're coming out of time, that's all set. So next up will be the hearing board update. Cabinets are closed. We have a number. I have 101 pages, not order, so I don't know the exact number. The highest number I saw was 130, so maybe at least 30, but that should be extended through it and a little bit more. We did briefly talk about the towards the end of the package, we briefly talked about the Title 9 training panel question set. They were, and it's based on our conversation at our last meeting, I went through and went and, in essence, added a whole number of amendments to them, or proposed amendments to them. There's a question about how the panels are removed. We're going to check that. I opened the process and I don't know off my head. Also, in terms of how the hearing board, how the UA is involved in this, note that somewhere in our bylaws, perhaps, then there was a question in terms of number four, make it to an actual hypothetical from the procedure as opposed to one of these will be invented and also make it more controlled, so as to not say that the respondent or complainant are at fault in the matter. And that is in, discussion plus these combined, question 5 and 16 and 7, plus you try to use duplication. I know you weren't here, but if you have any comments or questions, we're happy to talk about them right now or otherwise. Seeing none, we're going
to. I am reading out.
Yes.
This is a blur.
So, and then the last thing is. It's draft appendix A, which is codifying the university assemblies, how we handle the hearing board staffing procedures. It's based on what we've done historically, trying to avoid things going again. This is avoid agreement every single year. This is an amalgamation of text that I and others have been around for years. So there are a little verbose, and there are some things, non-sectors in there. I have a bunch of friendly amendments in terms of discussion. If you have any questions, please email me if you have any exact comments. This is a draft. Intended to put it in the bylaws primarily so we don't keep it. Well, as I said, don't forget it. We do otherwise. And that is where we are. Also, this one also includes one discussion we've had with the judicial administrator in terms of how we can as we move forward, such for instance, that renewals, the administrative chair, we check hearing board members to ask them on renewal, they come to us. Every at the beginning of the semester, the UA lessons, we move to book, or check on where we are on the boards, seeing vacancies, and if necessary, you need to see more people. Also, I'm calling. And then finally, also that the UA, this committee, in essence, can appoint or nominate ranked order alternates. And that if we need to know your alternate, that list will become confidential. Hold that list, we ask people are still conserving and being as best you can see them. That is what that is. Are there any comments or questions on anything I discussed or anything I didn't discuss?
Yeah. So, to be clear, you mentioned earlier that we were sending 10. Amendments to the code, but there's only 10, not 12.
Okay, so I'm sorry, it's 10.
Okay,
yeah, I'm sorry,
you said 12 earlier.
I apologize. You have 12 pages. I will also look through and try to make all the things I'm missing. I can check that I will.
So, when we tended it, when we didn't have a quorum, when we tended it, when we approved all this stuff, we intended to have them publicly posted?
Yes, I mentioned the graduate freshman student assembly, and I have been shopping around to stakeholders. The office of this website doesn't let us post things in a way that's a format of resolution. I'm having trouble with that, but I'm working on other matters as well. Then we, now that I have approved, frankly, I may have to public post it myself on some form.
It's just
waiting.
Can we just put an ad in the Daily Sun that just says, code amendments, please see the UA's website?
I don't know if it's the best way, but you could include them as contents under a meeting of the CJC and then advertise the link to that webpage.
Yeah, that's the best one.
So you could take the whatever it's going to say, the 11th, you could put the April 11th CJC meeting, upload any documents you want there. That one. Sure. Yes. It's
a whole account. Sorry. The websites are long term. I've got to tell after me. Is there anything else? Hearing none. Okay. I'm confident we're over time. The time currently is 6:17. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. 2 hours.
Yeah.
Starting meeting.